Romans 13, starting at verse 11. All right. Paul, he says this. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, if there's a theme for tonight, it's an honest day's work in the Christian life. I want to begin, though. I don't know if the educational system here is quite like it is in the States. In the States, there are a couple standardized tests where if you're in high school, you think your whole future rides on how you perform on these tests. I mean, you're confident if you don't do well on your SAT or your ACT, not only will your future be ruined, but your family will disown you, the sky will fall, and you'll never get a good night's sleep the rest of your life. It's incredible pressure. Now, when I was 17 years old, I was set to take my SAT. And although I hadn't prepared like I probably should have in terms of practicing for the test, I'd done everything that you could find on the internet to do the night before. I'd eaten handfuls of almonds, and I'd had porridge, I think, for dinner to think clearly. I'd listened to Mozart symphonies. I went to bed, I think, at 8 o'clock. Everything was perfect for me to ace this test. Now, the next morning, I didn't wake up to my alarm clock. I don't know if my alarm clock went off or not. But whereas I had planned to have a perfect morning with a couple hours of leisure, a protein-packed breakfast, get to the test on time with lots of sharpened pencils, I had 15 minutes and 5 blocks to run to take this test. I popped out of bed, eyes wide awake. There was a message I knew I needed to read, and that is that I had a test in 15 minutes, and I didn't want a score of zero going to universities. Now, in chapter 13, Paul tells us something. He tells us something very spectacular has happened, that in a sense, a sun has arisen. A day has dawned that we're supposed to be aware of. Now, it's kind of hard to get our head around to the image that Paul's trying to tell us about, but here's a picture. If you could imagine waking up in Scotland, let's say you wake up to hop on a plane in Glasgow, and as you're getting on your plane, the sun's coming up and the day is beginning. You hop on a plane, and this is a fast-speed jet, and you fly over the Atlantic water, and you land in San Francisco, and when you get there, it's pitch black, and you get out of the plane, you take a taxi into the city, and you have a really strange feeling, because you've seen the sun come up. For you, a day has dawned, but for everybody else, they're still asleep. That's the kind of message that Paul wants to get across, that the sun's arisen, a day has dawned. A lot of people haven't seen it, but we're supposed to become active in a certain way. Now, I said the theme is an honest day's work in the Christian life, and this is kind of the structure for how we'll be thinking. What does a day's work consist of for the Christian? I want to think in terms of Romans 13, in terms of waking up. Then I want to think about getting dressed. And then I want to think about going to work. So waking up, getting dressed, and going to work. Now, if you've ever picked up a newspaper and seen a headline that just kind of popped out at your eyes, something you never expected, something that changes your day, Think, imagine if you were sitting in your bed and all of a sudden you hear your mobile phone beep. You pick it up and you see terrorist attack in Inverness today. Imagine how that would change everything about your day. You'd become really focused. You'd all of a sudden have a different orientation than anybody who didn't have that message. Well, in chapter 13, Paul tells us, he says this, the day of salvation is drawing near. And that's supposed to be like a headline. It's supposed to be like a text message which triggers a chain of events in your life. Your adrenaline starts pumping immediately. Now again, we got to rethink how we think about time to get this message. Typically, we think after every Sunday there's a Monday, right? After every January there's a February. After 2011, there'll be 2012. And time just keeps going forward. Now, Paul thinks about time very differently. He thinks about it not like the horizon. What's the horizon? Remember, the horizon's in the distant. And as you walk toward it, the horizon pushes back. That's not how Paul thinks about time. He thinks about the horizon as if it actually moves near. He says the day of salvation is drawing near. Picture this. Imagine if you're looking out at the horizon and it's the ocean. And all of a sudden you see a tsunami coming up. And it starts moving in. And rather than typically where the horizon stays level, you start noticing the horizon getting bigger and accelerating toward you with overwhelming force. That's the force of this message. We're to wake up and recognize the day of salvation is drawing near. It's closer to us than when we first believed. And that's supposed to cause the initial reaction of simply waking up, smelling the coffee, becoming alert. Now, as Christians, we know this is true. But we also know there's a really kind of uncanny feeling. A really strange feeling, because we walk around in our life knowing the horizon's coming in, the day of salvation's drawing near, yet we live in a world where nobody seems to have gotten that text message, where nobody seems to be seeing this. And that might be confusing for us. Why doesn't the world have a sense of urgency? I mean, they look to be awake, don't they? They're going to work. They're picking up their kids from school. But Paul tells us something about the world we need to know. He says it's asleep. Not everybody's awake. It's one of these interesting things about life that the Bible tells us. The people you might think are awake because they're moving, spiritually they're asleep. And just like that person that got on the jet, went over, he's awake, he's seen the dawn, but the world hasn't woken up around him, that's what it's like to be a Christian. I mean, think about Noah. Noah, who God said to build an ark, he knew something big was happening. Nobody else seemed to have gotten the message, even if he told them about it. That's the first thing we need to know about an honest day's work for the Christian. Every day, this isn't a once-for-all thing. Paul's telling us, this is for Christians. We don't wake up once and read the headlines. Every day, you and I are supposed to wake up tomorrow morning, wake up and pick up these headlines. The day of salvation is drawing near, and all of a sudden, we get a different lens for viewing reality. Every day, on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, next month, next year, true every day, this is the Christian alarm clock. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, day of salvation drawing near. Now, the next thing we need to know is Paul tells us we've got to get dressed. We've got to get dressed. But in this passage, Paul talks about two different ways of getting dressed spiritually. And guys, everybody chooses one of these every day. Nobody avoids both of these. Everybody's getting dressed spiritually one way or another. Now, one way is according to the flesh, Paul says, what he calls our sinful nature. Another is according to the Spirit. Every day we get up and either we suit up with the flesh or we suit up with the Spirit. And Paul's trying to urge us to wear the Spirit. Now, what is the flesh? That's our question right now. What would it mean for you to wake up tomorrow morning and to put on the flesh? Well, the flesh for Paul, it means several things. But ultimately, it means relying on your own strength. Our flesh, on the one hand, is simply our own human strength. But it's also more than that for Paul. Our flesh is our tendency to rely on our own strength. That's why Paul talks about trying to earn your own righteousness as living according to the flesh. It's trying to rely on yourself to live spiritually. That's the flesh. And Paul wants to tell us really loudly that we need to put aside the deeds of darkness. We need to put off the flesh. We don't wake up and think, I've got the muscle, I can get through today. I've got the emotional strength, bring what you will. I can live up to it. I've been through a lot. All of that are fleshly tendencies. In their place, what Paul wants to tell us is we need to suit up with the Spirit. We've got to get dressed with the Spirit. Now, when Paul talks about what that is, he uses some interesting phrases. He doesn't say this here. He says it in Galatians. One of the things he says is that we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Now, although this may not be Paul's intended image, I think it's helpful. Living according to God's Spirit, think about it in terms of a dance. Anybody ever tried to learn a dance? Tried to keep up with somebody when you don't quite know the dance? It's really difficult. In a life of faith, according to God's Spirit, Paul tells us, isn't easy. We're not accustomed to the rhythms. We don't really know how to move. We're awkward. In fact, Paul says more. He says, spiritually, we've all got two left feet. So it's really difficult to stay in step with the Spirit. Again, it's not something that when you're converted, you say once for all, okay, I'm going to live according to the Spirit. Paul, he urges us every day. This is our task. Wake up. Recognize the day of salvation's coming. And then clothe yourself with the Spirit, which again is not relying on yourself, but relying on Jesus in the gospel for your strength. Now, there's something he says that I think is interesting, and maybe it's too basic of a point. But he actually talks about putting on the armor of light. Now, why would Paul say armor? Why would he say that we're to put on armor every day? Basic point, but one that you and I probably forget just about every day of our life. And that is that every day, including tomorrow, is actually a day of combat. Now, I don't think if you were to walk down the high street on a Monday, you'd see many people wearing armor. There's only one person I know of in this area that wears armor every day, and that's my 4-year-old son. He wore it to Madras tonight. The rest of us, we don't wear armor. But Paul says we gotta wear armor. Because right now, when you go through those doors, you're stepping into a combat zone. And you've got several things against you. One is your own flesh. There's something within you fighting God's Spirit. In Galatians, Paul says the flesh fights against the Spirit against the flesh. But we've also got an enemy, Satan, who longs, though he can't take away our salvation, he wants us to stumble. He wants us to live beneath what is ours in Jesus. He wants us to not know the freedom and the power of God's Spirit. So that means that every day we don't just need to wake up and recognize that the day of salvation is drawing near. It means that we've also got to get dressed for a day's work. And that getting dressed is putting on armor, recognizing there's a battle in this world. Well, that's only the second thing. The last thing that's in this text is Paul says each day we're to go to work. We're to go to work, to get busy. And he doesn't tell us specifically what we're to do. He focuses more on how we're to go about it. In other words, he recognizes that we find ourselves in different positions in life, different ages. But what he says pertains to every one of us. And he says that there's two main ways to go to work. Either you go to work as if it's nighttime, or You go to work, you live your life as if it's daytime. And let's think about what these two things mean. What would it mean to go to work, to live your life as if it is night? Let's think about two things. Night in the Bible typically means something more than, you know, just nighttime, no sun. People who live according to the night, they live as if God isn't watching. They live as if nobody sees what they're doing. To work or to live as if it is night is to think, you know what, I can do whatever I want because nobody sees this. And that's why, here's the second thing. Our worst sins tend to be when we think no one is watching. It's why we go to that internet page we shouldn't go to after we check the room to make sure there's nobody in it with us. And pick any other situation. All of us know what I mean. We do our worst things when we think nobody is watching. It's why we say things in our head we would be so ashamed of if anybody knew. I can tell you that's true of me. If you had a recording of my last 12 hours, I'd be horrified. I bet you would too. And it's because I'm convinced that in my head, only I see what's going on. That's living according to the night. Thinking, living the lie that nobody's watching. What Paul wants us to do is live our life not as if it is night, but rather as if it is day. There's two things to think about there as well. The first is, just like what I just said, to live in the day is to recognize we live in the sight of an all-knowing God, a holy God, for whom nothing is hidden. He sees every corner of space. He sees every corner of mind. He knows the crevices of your heart that you don't understand. He sees it all. And we're to live with that. But there's another sense. When Paul talks here about a day coming up, he's thinking specifically about a day of salvation. This text is Romans 13. Which means there's 12 chapters before. And what you and I are to live in is not just under the light of God's holy gaze that would consume us, but rather to also live in the light of Jesus, which constantly shines a light through which we see that we're forgiven. Our sins have been wiped away. We're justified. We're a bride whom God loves. To live as if it is day is not simply to live in guilt. It's not to live in guilt. It's to live knowing Jesus is on the throne. That as you look up at the King of Heaven, on his throne is the one in whose hands are still scars from what he did for us. To live in God's light, to live according to the day, is to live recognizing all the time what is true for us according to Jesus. I just spoke at Madras, and I spoke about how in the book of Hebrews, it's really interesting because one of the promises that the writer wants us to know we have is that we've been completely forgiven through Jesus, and yet he recognizes that his audience still carries around a burden of guilt. Which means this, it's perfectly possible for Christians to live beneath the freedom that God wants to call them up to live a sub-Christian existence. And again, to live in the light of God, to live as if it is day, is to lift your eyes up to the sun and to see all that is yours from him. Now, I said that today's theme is thinking about an honest day's work. And in this passage, we thought about it in terms of a waking up, a getting dressed, and a going to work. Waking up and seeing these headlines, the day of salvation is drawing near, getting dressed according to the Spirit, not the flesh, going to work as if it is day, not the night. And again, this is something that we're called to do each day, on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. Now, the word profession is a word I really like. We often talk about what's our job. Some of you may think, what's my vocation? Profession is interesting. To profess is to say forth. to declare something. And when we have a profession, it's what we profess to be. And sometimes we use the word casually. Your profession might be to be a doctor or a nurse or a teacher. We all have different professions. What we also need to know is what unites us in this room is we have a common profession. That above every individual job or career we have, all of us, more than anything else, profess to be a Christian. Maybe not everyone. Probably shouldn't have said that, but many here profess to be a Christian. And if we profess to be a Christian, we need to know this is our profession. This is our daily task. Tomorrow morning, you're going to start a new work week. And again, what you need to do, wake up, read the headlines. The day of salvation is drawing near. That's good news for us. Suit up, recognizing you don't have what you need inside of you. You've got to depend upon God. You've got to know His grace every day. Put that on as your armor. And then go about as if it's day. And that's if you're a teacher, if you're a lawyer, whatever you are, reflect God in your work. As Paul says, verse 14, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Let's go ahead and end there. Let me pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wake-up call that Paul gives us. Lord, we recognize that there may be some here tonight that have never heard that wake-up call. And Lord, it would be far too much for them to even think about trying to dress in your spirit or live as if it is in the day. Lord, more than anything else, we pray that your mercy and your grace would be known here. That all of us would recognize that we don't have the strength for anything. That we're utterly dependent. And that you are abundantly merciful. And that as we cry out to you once to be saved, as we cry out to you every day for strength, that you are constantly listening. And that you give good gifts to your children. We draw great strength from that and we pray for those mercies. In the name of Jesus, amen.